Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I humbly come before You this evening, asking God that Thy Word, O God, which is life, O God, feed us this evening, Lord, that bread of life, as we know that You were broken, God, and there we take this bread, O God, symbolically, Lord, and feed the people, Lord, with Thy living Word. The bread of God, for man surely cannot live by bread, earthly bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Bless him, I, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, there is therefore now. Up until this time, the word condemnation means to make a judicial pronouncement stating what punishment has been imposed on a person found guilty. When Adam and Eve stood there guilty before God, knowing that they had committed sin, that they had broke the transgression, and transgressed against the Word of God, they stood there guilty, condemned. They didn't know where to go or what to do. They tried to hide themselves amongst the trees of the garden. They tried to cover themselves up with some fig leaves that they had sewn together. They had tried to do everything, and from then on, man has lived under condemnation, under guiltiness. Amen. It also means consider somebody or something guilty. And the word of the Lord says in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now." Everybody say now.
Now.
"There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Oh, tonight I want to preach for a while. Amen. There is victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are in Christ. Amen. If we are buried with Him in baptism. Amen. We have been, amen, resurrected with Him and walking in the newness of life. Amen. We do not have to walk around feeling guilty. We do not have to walk around feeling condemned all the time. We don't have to walk around with our shoulders, with our heart, with our head down. Amen. But we, amen, we, amen, have been set free from the law of sin and death. Amen. By the law of the Spirit. Amen. The natural letter killed, but the Spirit giveth life. Let me add some words, some great wisdom tonight. Maybe it's a reality that you haven't thought of or that you haven't looked at. Tonight, to hope to do better is to fail to see yourself in Christ only. Let me say it again so you get it. To hope to do better is to fail to see yourself in Christ only. That Scripture says to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you say, I hope to do better. You know you're not. Hello? You need to see yourself in Christ Jesus today and realize that only the Spirit of God moving through you can accomplish this. If we walk after our own self, if we walk after our own nature, if we walk after the flesh, we cannot do anything. But if we walk after Christ, if through Christ Jesus we can do all things. All things we can do through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote, not that I speak in respect the warmth, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. For everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Tonight I want to preach there is victory in Jesus. Victory is not in ourselves. Amen. We are not capable. We are not able. Amen. We are not able to live for God. We are not able to save ourselves. We are not able to be model Christians ourselves. We got to get that into our understanding. Amen. Jesus looked at those scribes and Pharisees and rebuked them. Amen. They were those who did it in themselves. He said, you hypocrites. And you hypocrites. Oh, he said, you love the long flatteries and the garments. You love to be called of men rabbi. You love to make long pretense in the marketplaces. Oh, but he said, inward you're full of extortion. Inward you're full of hypocrisy. Amen. Tonight, amen, we can't do this in ourselves. Amen. It ain't willpower. Amen. It ain't. Hey, come on. I said it ain't willpower. Amen. It's Jesus' power. Amen. Have you ever just sit around and thought, I don't know, it's just me getting older, but amen, the older I get, the slower I get, and I'm like, man, you know, my get up and go just got up and went. Amen. And we went by our self-motivations. And we went by our self-interest. Amen. We wouldn't get out of bed in the morning and go to work. Amen. We wouldn't do a lot of things that we do. Amen. But we are motivated. Amen. By necessity. Amen. Even spiritually tonight. Amen. We, if it were ourselves, we would not go to church. We would not pray. We would not sing praises to God. We would not lift up His name. Amen. But there's a motivation. I said there's a motivator. I said there's a motivator. I said there's a motivator tonight. Amen. The Spirit of God is our motivator. If you look in Romans chapter 8, you're going to read time and time and time again. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. I was thinking earlier, just meditating about the Spirit, and it come to me, how can denominational churches leave out the Spirit? How can they leave out the spiritual birth that is a requirement to be born into the kingdom of God? Jesus Himself, who was the Son of God, who, how did He become the Son of God? By spiritual birth. How do we become a son or a daughter of God? By spiritual birth. It's all God. It's all Spirit. It's all Him. Come on, I said, ain't nobody, you show me one person in this Bible where they did it out of their own power, their own mind. You can't find it nowhere. I said, you can't find it nowhere. Noah, ain't no, we'll pick on old Noah, even though he, is he in here? Yeah, he's over there. We'll pick on Noah, the real Noah, though, that righteousness. But Noah had no idea how to get saved. Noah, there's a flood coming, and I'm going to destroy this earth. Well, yes, Lord, I believe you, Lord. Noah, it repented me that I have made man upon the earth. And Noah, I'm going to send a flood upon this earth, and it's going to destroy everything wherein is the breath of life. Noah, I'm going to destroy every living creature. Yes, Lord, I believe you, Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what God did? He said, Noah, you're going to need something. Here's some blueprints. I want you to build this up. Salvation tonight is not of us. That's grace. We're not going to live for God out of our own willpower, out of our own self-power. To be disappointed with yourself, listen to these key points. To be disappointed with yourself. Has anybody ever been disappointed with yourself? Come on, be honest. I got my hand up. I'm going to read the Bible through in this year. Man, I got a good start at it. I didn't make it. Disappointment is better. I'm going to make up a calendar. I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to pray every day. And I'm going to fast once a week, every week. This is going to be a new year. I'm going to do great. I'm going to do good. To only find disappointment. To be disappointed with yourself means you believe in yourself. I believe I'm going to be a better Christian. Come on, follow with me tonight. I believe I'm going to be a better Christian. I believe I'm going to dress better. I'm going to walk better. I'm going to act better. I'm going to be a better Christian. And you to believe is to believe in yourself. Somebody says, oh, I'm so disappointed in myself. I can't lose weight. I'm losing hair. I'm getting fat. I'm getting short. I'm just so disappointed. America is so full of depression. Friends, follow with me. Well, you'd better be disappointed in yourself. You know no good thing is going to come out of your flesh. We have the scripture. Paul says, it is in me that dwelleth my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Huh? Come on now, follow with me. Stop believing in yourself. That's the whole problem. We're trying to do everything ourselves. Self-made Christianity, self-made worship, self-this, self-that. You know, people can fine-tune and try to learn music and learn how to sing and professional musicians, professional singers, and they can try to do it themselves. And all it may sound, good to the paper. You can follow right along with the script. But that's not what it's about. And then you miss the key in the note, you're like, but come on tonight, follow along with me. Stop believing in yourself and believe that the Spirit of God today can enable you through the new nature to live for God. Stop believing in yourself. Stop putting the weight upon yourself. Jesus says, come unto me and come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Tonight, Christ wants to take the burden. Amen. Christ wants to take the labor. Amen. Christ wants to take the weight off of our back. Amen. God wants to carry our weight. The Bible says, amen, amen, let's look into Jesus, the author and
repentance of our faith. Amen. Let's lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run this race that is set before us with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, for the joy that was set before him. Endure the cross, but despise the shame. Amen. Tonight we can live with God through Christ Jesus. We can have victory in Jesus. For the law of the Spirit. Amen. There are laws. Everything has a law of gravity. The law of gravity. What goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. Science can build formulas and engineer great planes and great ships. Amen. Knowing that the earth has 14.96 inches of mercury, pounds of pressure that is forcing on every object upon the earth continuously. Amen. Because of the laws of gravity, atmospheric pressure, amen, pushing, amen, upon everything. Amen. But there is a law of the Spirit. Amen. When Christ Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free of yourself. Amen. A new creation. A new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Tonight our victory is in Jesus. Amen. Everybody say victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus.
John chapter 13. Go there with me real fast. Now I'm kind of I admit something shamefully. Tonight I was like, well, you know, we'll have a couple songs and I'll preach this good sermon the Lord give me, and we'll go out and fellowship. We need fellowship. We don't get together that much. We need to go have some fellowship. Well, so we'll shortchange the service and we'll have a couple songs and then we'll preach here and then let's go out and have some soda water. Friends, what we need is fellowship with the Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, that was my fleshly side. I knew better. I corrected myself right away. Was it something I was going to do? Something I thought of. Not something that I was... something that came from my mind, but something that God knows He's my governor. I always tell God, you have your way. If we don't get a drink of soda water, well, who cares? Maybe some other time. We need the fellowship of the Spirit. That's why the early church, if you look in the book of Acts, amen, I want to get into the history of the church. I want to get into the book of Acts and see how the early church really lived. How they really had church. How they really worshiped. What their lives were really like. Amen. You know the Bible. Amen. God has given unto us everything, the Bible says in 1 Peter. That God has given unto us everything that pertains to the life of godliness. God has supplied us with every... the piece of equipment, everything that we need to make this journey, God has given it to us. We just got to use it. The devil can keep us foggy from it. That's the devil's business, to keep us from praying, keep us from reading the Word, to keep us from anything that's going to help us and strengthen us and give us our strength. You know, the devil is like a leech. The devil is like a diuretic. God's trying to put some nutrition in us, in our spirit, to where we have spiritual strength. Paul told the church to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But the devil is like a leech. He's like a diuretic. Amen. God tries to put something in there, and the enemy comes along and he snatches it out by the wayside. It's like Jesus told the parable of the sower.
Amen? And so that's the devil's business, is to get us weak, is to get us down, because he knows that our victory is in Jesus. Our victory is not in ourselves. Victory is in Jesus, and Jesus alone. You know who's going to give us our garments? You know who's going to give us our wedding garments? Jesus. We're not going to get our own wedding garments. The Bible says that I saw a number that don't make a number, 1,000 times 10,000. And they said, I saw them standing there with white robes and palm leaves in their hands. Palm leaf represents victory. White robe represents righteousness. Where do we get our righteousness? His name shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. The wedding, the husbandman of the Eastern wedding marriages, the husbandman, the bride, always provides the wedding garments for everyone in the party. No one going to the wedding looked differently. They all had the same wedding garment. That's why when Jesus told the parable of the great supper, that those who were bidden would not come to the wedding. He said, go to the servants and go out and call for all of the halt, the blind, the lame. Go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. So they went out into the highways and the hedges and compelling those to come in. Amen. I'm excited about Michael and them getting out here and tearing down the strongholds. They're doing some good outreach. They got 4 people who want Bible studies. Amen. Pray for Brother House. Amen. But let me tell you something. Amen. Let me tell you something. There was a man who, in that crowd, who was bidden to come, who came and sat down in the marriage supper. But along come the inspector, one that was in charge of the wedding supper, and he said, sir, how did you enter not having a wedding garment? We don't manufacture our own wedding garments. He gave them to us. Amen. There's people going to come. There's people going to come. Some of them are really going to be real, and some of them ain't. Amen. But tonight there's victory in Jesus. Come on with me. John chapter 13. Listen, this is good. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, this devil, having now put into the heart of Jesus, carried Simon's son to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. He rising from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel, and girded himself, and that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then come to him, he is Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Boy, I just got a good sermon off of this. And I preach it sometimes. Don't you lay hands on me. Don't you expect me to jump up and down. Don't you expect me to worship God. I'm over here. Don't you expect me to get excited. Now just follow me for a second. That's what Peter did. You ain't washing my feet. And listen what Jesus ate through. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If we don't get into this thing with all we got, if we don't get into the church with all that we got, if we don't get into the kingdom of Christ and let Christ be Lord of our lives, and we don't get into this thing wholeheartedly, come on, I said we can't be on the outer edge. Maybe we got to dive into this thing, and we got to say, here I am, Lord, victory in Jesus. I can't make it on my own. I can't live for God on my own willpower. I need you, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Oh, Jesus, see me through, Captain. You're the captain of my salvation. You're the author and finisher of my faith. Oh, I'm looking to you, Jesus. I'm looking to the hills. For when cometh my help? My help
Lord.
Amen. We need to dive into this thing and let the Lord, amen, let the Lord do His job. And then what he said?
Simon Peter answered him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
And Jesus said unto him, he that is worshipped needeth not save and wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean.
But not all. There was one of them, 11, who was unclean. And that was Jesus.
What are you talking about? I'm back in Romans 8. We have victory through Jesus. It's all Jesus. Everybody say it's all Jesus.
All Jesus.
It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. We don't have time to go into it, but if you go back to Romans chapter 8 and you read that chapter, it'd be a good thing if you went home and read Romans chapter 8 tonight. If you go home and read Romans chapter 8, you're going to find out some very wonderful, powerful things in there. Amen. Paul told the church, amen, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, amen, the Bible is even by the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit of God. It's the workmanship. We are His workmanship. We are His creation. We are His. Amen. We are His. Then he goes on here and it says, you can't even pray like you should. The Spirit making intercession for prayer. You can't even be resurrected unless that same Spirit which dwelt in Christ dwell in you. It shall put in your mortal body. We can't resurrect ourselves. We can't even pray ourselves. We don't know where we're helpless. We're hopeless. We don't know what in the world we're doing. Amen. We're a mess without Christ. And does it take us to realize that? Does it take great intellectualism? Look at Michael. We're a mess without Christ. Amen. We are sinners saved by grace. We did not step into the church of Jesus Christ and say, well, I'm here, Lord, hallelujah. I've been nice time. I'm sleeping. Here I am. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be saved with all the rest. I'm going to be altar. I'm going to be saved. Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to be the best Christian there ever was. You are a mess. Come on. I was a long-haired hippie, punk, cusser, liar, drinker, dopehead. We don't save ourselves. We don't save ourselves. We're not righteousness ourselves. We don't get the horse before the cart. We are sinners, and Christ came to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chiefest of sinners, because I persecuted the church. The Apostle Paul was very religious. The Apostle Paul had all religion down pat. If religion will save you, the Apostle Paul was saved before he got saved. But he was not saved. He was lost. He was a sinner. He was in darkness. Amen. Until the light shined in his heart. Amen. And tonight, victory is in Jesus. Amen. Victory is in Jesus. Yes. Amen. Come on. I said it takes the power of God. I said it takes the power of God. Moses standing down there at the Red Sea. Amen. Moses all had a great stick in his hand. Amen. Where's it at?
Brother Dean, find me a better stick to straight away. So I'm finding that hole.
There he is, Moses out there.
The deliverer. And before them stands the Red Sea. And behind them is the Egyptian army.
Now Moses didn't get out his fancy calculator, his IBM C320 ThinkPad.
We have 45 minutes, 30 seconds. Come up with a point. Can't get an airplane here. Can't get a helicopter here. Ah, come on.
An 8-year-old man stands there with a stick in his hand, all wore out and droopy clothes, long beard and hairy man. He wasn't shaved, didn't have a suit and tie on, didn't have no, what they call them, nice fancy shoes. No. No, real fancy dress shoes, they call those. No. No. No, not what they're made of or a brand. That's a name for them. Not penny loafers. Anyway, fancy shoes on. Somebody get Jeremiah. Well, he blows up the whole system. And so, here he is standing out there, the Red Sea in front of him, the army of Israel, army of the Egyptians behind him, pursuing after him, raging, red hot, mad enemy and God's people. Amen. With swords in their hands, here he's got a little wooden cheek stick. Amen. It's like somebody standing there with a bazooka in their hand with those swords and chariots and armor and great infantry and bow and arrows and all the military might of the Egyptians is raging mad at them. And here he's standing there with a little wooden stick in his hand and a Red Sea in front of him. Amen. You think Moses could come up with a plan? Moses, what did he do? Moses got on his knees and said, God, you're going to have to help me out of this one. Amen. You know what God said? Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, there it is. And then God said, now you go take that stick, that rod. And he said, you go lift up that rod. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Go stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Come on. I said, go stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the salvation is of God. The supernatural is of God. Amen. It took the power of God. Amen. The wind to blow just like the Holy Ghost wind. Amen. To blow unless the Holy Ghost blows upon somebody. They're hopeless. They're helpless. Amen. But if God gets involved, amen, it's just going to happen. I said it's going to work. I said it's going to be victory in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory is in Jesus. Listen, this is a little a preview of a sermon. God hasn't handed it to me yet. It's funny how God deals with preachers. He'll give us a title or just a little bitty thought or inspiration, and we'll be like, oh man, that sounds like a good one. But he doesn't give you the rest of it until the time. But this kind of fits, this thought fits with the sermon tonight. He looks not, everybody say not. Everybody say it like capital N-O-T. Not. He looks not. Ooh, that was a good one. He looks not at what we are. You ain't hearing me tonight. I wish I was in a church. I wish I was in a black church. Hey! He looks not at what we are. But it looks at what we can be. He does not look at what or who we are. If he would look at old Peter down there on nasty stick gun rock fisherman, he piped us, chewed the back up. Don't tell him what he did. But he looks at what we can be in him. Not what we could be on ourselves. Not what we could be. Oh, you know, you see some of these grandma made preachers. They grow up in the church and they walk the Bible college. And they, oh, Johnny just looks so. Look at him, his hair, his suit. Oh, look, he's going to be a preacher. We're going to send him off to the college, and he's going to be such a. Oh, you know, and old Johnny comes back and he don't know God from nothing. All he knows is book knowledge. He has no spiritual knowledge. He's got so much book knowledge, and this is why Brother House is against man-made religion. Bible college will make you a man-made device. Hello? They will teach you
the days of miracle is over.
They will teach you signs and wonders are gone. They will teach you tongues is in the past. They will teach you this. They will teach you that. They will teach you, amen, and they will teach Christ right out of their doctrine. But what we need and what the old time Pentecost, amen, what we need is an old fashioned Holy Ghost, amen, Holy Ghost, Word of God. God called, God made. Amen. I ain't against a God called person going to Bible, a real good Bible college. There's some good ones and there's some bad, a whole lot of bad ones. But anyway, amen. But if you're a God called preacher, see, that's the problem. People go off to college and they ain't God called. You can tell it too. When he has called, he has qualified. God doesn't call him to the ministry. Not mama, not grandma. But he looks at not at what we are or at who we could be in ourselves. He didn't like you hear about all these presidents. You know, it's kind of comical. They went to Harvard. Who cares? They had a lot of money. They ain't hard to figure out. They went to Harvard because Harvard costs $100,000 a year or whatever, and somebody paid the bill. But listen, what God looks at, He looks at what we can be in Him. Amen. Amen? I'm going to sleep on me now. That's the best part of the message. Abraham. God did not look at Abram as the father of us. Now come on, follow with me tonight. I was getting more of a nervous, but I'm not. God did not look at Abram as the father of us. Amen?
Amen.
He did not look at Abram as Abram the father of us. With a wife that's married. But he looked at Abram as Abraham, the father of a multitude. Yeah. Now maybe you'll get to see a little bit. You're more important than what you think. We sit around and let the devil pound us in the ground. Huh? I said we sit around and let the devil beat us up. We got black eyes, we got a busted nose and lip spiritually now. We got a hooked back, we got been kicked down, been lying on cheating, talked about mistreated, been up, been down, thrown around. Amen. But the Bible, that song says, as long as I've got King Jesus, don't need nobody else. Huh? Come on, I see God is not looking at us as Abraham the father. He looks at us as Abraham, the father of multitudes, father of the many nations. Amen. The call to salute the sheep, we select the God. Abraham did not realize. Amen. Abraham did not realize the mighty purpose in his life. We fail to see the mighty purpose of God in our lives. I'm preaching to me tonight. Jacob. He did not look at Jacob as a supplanter. That's what Jacob's name meant. Jacob's name meant supplanter. Hello? He was the second born. He was the youngest. His older brother Esau had the legal right to the inheritance. But God did not look at Jacob as a supplanter. But you know how God looked at Jacob? You know how God looked at Jacob? Looked at him as Israel. You know what happened to Jacob? His name got changed. And his name meant that he had power. He was a prince. He had power with God. He changed his name to Israel. You don't realize how important you are to God. Let me say it again. Some of you ain't chewing it up very well. You do not realize how important you are to God. That's the devil's business, is to keep you from the blessing God has for you. Joseph. God did not look at Joseph as a little despised by his brother, a little brat boy who was despised by his brethren. But God looked at Joseph as governor and sustainer over all the land. Come on. God did not look at Moses as a running fugitive. God did not look at Moses, amen, as an old man. God did not look at Moses as a worthless, amen, a refugee, a fugitive running from Egypt, running from his past. Amen, people run from their past. Friends, it's time to quit running from your past. It's time to turn around and face your past. It's time to put the enemy to the flight. It's time to say, I will have victory in Jesus. I don't care what I did in the past. I don't care what the past has. I don't care about those old bones. Amen. Everybody has gone through their closet. Amen. Quit running from your past and turn around and face it. Amen. With Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That was my biggest obstacle in the ministry, was my past. Telling you the truth. That devil slapped me every day. Said, you can't be a preacher. You can't do this. You can't do this. You are drunk. You can't do this. All the time. You ain't been to school. I didn't graduate from high school. I got my GED instead. You can't be a preacher. You ain't got college. You can't be a... You ain't even qualified. You ain't got a license. Well, you got to get you a license to be a preacher. Let me tell you, buddies, I've been through it. But you know what? God didn't look at me as the old man that I used to be. God looked at me at Brother House. Preaching here to you folks and praying on the thing. Trying to sustain his flock. He looks at me differently than what I look at me. I like that. Can I get a copy of that? Big time, man. You sleeping over there? Joshua. He did not look at Joshua as just a servant. Joshua was a young man. He followed Moses around. He picked up a border. He did whatever Moses wanted him to do. You know, it's a key point in being faithful to the house of God and being faithful to the preacher. Amen. God is building servitude in you. Joshua was faithful. Joshua did whatever Moses wanted him to do. Amen. Clean the toilets. Amen. Sweep the floors. Amen. Whatever you need me to do, Moses, that's what I'm going to do. And so Joshua, God did not look at Joshua as just Moses' mere little sermon, but God looked at Joshua. I wish I had time to really bring this out tonight, but I don't. God looked at Joshua as the captain. And do you know that Joshua's name meant Jehovah saves? Who was it that took the children of Israel into the promise? Joshua. And did you know that Joshua's name was the very name that our Lord Jesus received? Did you know Jesus in the Hebrew is Yeshua?
Amen.
Joshua? Yeshua? See, I know Hebrew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Joshua.
You got to clean your throat out. That's the way they do it in those reading dictionaries.
Ha 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 ha! Keep laughing. God sent me here for you. Yeshua.
Thank you, Yeshua.
Yeah. There are Jewish Christians today. There are Christian Jews and religious groups in the Pentecostal Christian Jews who call his name Yeshua. They do not call his name Jesus. But can I tell you, God knew what he was doing. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you why. Because God gave me this revelation. Because all the Old Testament, which was under what? The law. The Bible says until John, the law was preached, and the prophets were until John. That's what Jesus said. Until John, the law and the prophets. And so the name Joshua was a Hebrew name. And the Hebrew was all under the old covenant. But God said, a new covenant I'm going to make with the house of Israel. Not like the old covenant. And so you know what God did? He changed the language. He changed the name to a different language, a Gentile language, just like he said, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And he took Joshua, the Hebrew name, and he changed it to the Greek name, which is Yosef, which is Jesus. The law never could make what come upon him. The Hebrew covenant could not bring salvation. But this new covenant did. David, he did not look at David as just a little kid in sheep's coat. Watch his father's sheep, he was a little ruddy boy. Not very big in stature, had freckles all over. Some say that he was red skin and freckles. Just a little David, a little freckle face kid who watched his father's sheep. Listen, God looked at David as a mighty warrior. You see what we can do through Christ? We can destroy giants. You see what we can do through Christ? We can destroy thousands. And that's what the enemy wants to stop. That's what the enemy wants to destroy, is the spiritual connection we have with Christ. Because why? Because there's victory in Jesus. Amen. And so God looked at David as a mighty warrior and establisher of the king's throne. Boy, I wish we had time to go there. Man, David was a real flesh and blood man. He lived, he died. He hungered, he thirsted, he sweat. King, God looked at him as the one to establish the king's throne. I wish I had time to go there. The king's throne. The king's city. The king's kingdom. And to establish the kingdom, to set up things for the real son of David. You know, the covenant of Abraham that comes upon us is the same thing today. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, in you is all the earth going to be blessed. When we are spirit filled with Christ's spirit, in us will all the earth be blessed. We can be a blessing to other people through Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I have people at work want me to pray for them. We're a blessing to this world. Amen. And that's the blessings of Abraham through Christ Jesus. Saul. Paul. God did not look at him as a highly educated Pharisee, caught up in religion, apostasy, and degradation. The religious system, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, it was a religion of apostasy and degradation. They had taken the work of God, they had taken the work of God, the church, and turned it into a prophet scam, and turned it into a religion. Amen? God did not look at Saul as that.
We better be careful how we look at people. You know, we can look at people through the wrong eyes. Hello? God can save a Catholic priest. God can save a Baptist preacher and give him the Holy Ghost. He has. You check out Azusa Street, check history. It began with Baptist preachers who were hungry for a move of God, and they got tired of no Holy Ghost. And they started searching out the Bible, and they had an early beginning of a Bible school, and they had all the students do a research on the Holy Ghost. And they began to research this and find out that in the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues. And they got hungry for it. And Azusa Street revival broke out. Yeah. God did not look at Paul in this manner, but he looked at Paul as an apostle. An apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul, the apostle to the church of Jesus Christ, and a writer of over half of the entire New Testament. Did you know that? 14 books. How many books are in the New Testament? 27. What's half of 27? 13 and a half. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. He was not the author, he was a writer. But God saw him in that capacity. What does God see you in capacity? Does he see you like you see you? I don't think so.
No.
I said, I don't think so. Victory is in Jesus. If we read on down in the scriptures, the Apostle Paul said in verse 35, no, let me back up 31, it's still early. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you something, when society, your family, your friends turn against you. You feel like an outcast? You feel like the whole world is against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, I said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Question mark. He that spared not his own son, listen to the love of God for you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is he that condemneth. It is Christ that died. You have men condemned. It's Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is in the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. We can't even live right. He has to make intercession for us. When we forget to pray, Mike, or we forget to pray, knowing we should pray, hello? Come on, how many of you knew you should have prayed? You're too tired, you're exhausted. Amen, I guess. Come on. Don't give me amen. I know that's hard work. You're too exhausted to pray? Let me tell you what, Jesus prayed for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question marks of tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through who? Through who? Through him. Not through us. You see, that's where Pentecostals, that's where, we'll say Christians. Christians have a problem with pride. Oh, Pharisee, he went down to the church one day and he's down there praying. He said, oh, Father, he said, I pray always, I fast 3 times a week. I'm not looking at this publican over here, this sinful man. I'm not like him. Oh, I give tithes of all that I have. Give alms. Tithes, alms. Oh, look at this sinful publican over here.
And the publican over there who, yes, who was not perfect, who had faults, who had problems, is on his knees down at the altar where the old poor Pharisee should have been, but he was standing up like to be seen the men praying. And oh, the publican's down at the altar. You know what he's doing? He's pounding on his chest, saying, "Oh God, forgive me, for I'm a sinful man." What did Jesus say? Do you want a religion of self-righteousness? I don't. It ain't no fun. It ain't no fun trying to be something that you don't have the power to be.
Right.
Amen. Right. We only have the power to live for God through His power.
Amen.
Through Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So man, all these things we're going to conquer through Him. How wonderful that is. He spared not His Son. He spared Abraham's Son. Listen. He didn't spare His Son. Christ died on Calvary. He spared Abraham's Son Isaac. Since He gave us His Son to die for us, He will give us all things we need. Son of man will say, "But I may not be able to hold out." He's going to do that for you. He will hold you. His sheep are safe, my friend. Come on. It is not because they are smart sheep. You think they're smart? You think sheep are smart? Anybody? Does anybody think sheep are smart? You think sheep are smart? Huh? You think they're smart? My friends are smart. What's wrong? We're dumb. Okay, there you go. A preacher in San Angelo, Texas, who raises sheep, said, "Sheep are stupid. They are defenseless. They don't have sharp claws or fangs to protect themselves. They can't even run very fast. They are little old, helpless animals. If a little old sheep stands up and sings, 'Safe am I,' is that sheep safe? Yes. Smart sheep? No, stupid sheep. That old sheep is safe because he has a good shepherd." We are not smart enough to say what's that. We have a smart shepherd.
That's right.
We have a good shepherd.
That's right.
I feel for this world. I feel for the sheep. There's a lot of sheep that are out there that are hurting, you know that? If we can look past people's faults and people's failures and what people are, if we only view them as Christ sees them, what they could be.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
What if the little old church where I got saved at would have looked at me some funky and didn't have any chance to be saved? I would be lost.
Right.
This church here in Prairieville is not going to be a church that rejects people. If you don't dress a certain way, if you don't smell a certain way, or, you know, just fit our pretties. We're not a clique. This one will live alone. Brother Lee from Cape Farms, Eric Houston, that's the one, not Brother Bowles. And I wish I had a copy of it. It was a very powerful message. And in his message, he said, "Who do you want?" Well, Brandon, I don't want no one. No one. I don't care how they've done me wrong. I don't care how they hurt me.
stood out in front of my yard and cussed me out. Friends, there's no one I would want to be lost. Sheep are safe because they have a wonderful shepherd. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's stand.